Thank you very much, Mr. Cleaver. Appreciate that. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Good to see you. Kind of a little leaner of a gathering today, but I think everyone here pretty much knows that who's sick and who can't be around, and the Dowds are still in Zambia. I think they got about another week to go there, and he sent out some wonderful pictures. And so, you know, it's just amazing amazing it is that over the past 2 weeks, things that have transpired in world history, national history, and then in the history of our own little congregation. You know, so much to pray about, huh? So much to pray about. And I think you all know that wear out your knees. You know, go before your prayer closet often. It's so wonderful to be able to have the technology that we have today and look at the prayer lists that are sent out nationally from the home office, from different ministers about around the world. Like I just was stunned at I forget who the minister is that oversees the Philippines, but he put out a prayer request here a couple of months ago about the only baptized member in China. And I just, when I saw that, her name is Connie Chin, and she suffers from tuberculosis. And I just thought, the only baptized member in China. And we have access to her, a little bit of her life, that we can go before God's throne and pray for each other. So I just wanted to throw that out and not do it flippantly or lightly. as I want to do with every message that I present, Romans 1:7 begins, Paul says, to all that be in Rome, excuse me, but I changed that. I took a little liberty at it. I said, to all that be in Oklahoma City, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. To you, I'd like to welcome also, as Mr. Jennings did, to everybody that's on the hookup right now. We have this technology that we can do that. And we just pray for your healing, we pray for your comforting, we pray for your safety. I'd also like you to go to 1 Corinthians 1. First chapter, real close to the beginning of the chapter there, 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed to you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Would it be better if I moved? Can y'all hear that ringing? Would you like me to try to do something about that? I can't dance, so I'll just a little bit, see if. Is that a little better? Testing 1, 2, 3. I'm not going to look at her. She'll tell me it's not right anyway. All right. I get a nod. Now I'd like you to go to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. This is such a beautiful description of the great God, the Father of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. That word consolation means encouragement. Well, brethren, welcome home to all of you that were able to attend the feast. But it's also good to see every one of you here on this precious feast, this weekly feast. Good to see you. Good to see you. My family and I had a most memorable feast. It had to be the most memorable of recent history in our lives. The title of this message is, What Can I Do Now? The joy of God revealed in encouragement. The purpose of this message is to encourage you. I really hope this is an encouraging message. I mean, we had close friends in Israel. And on the last great day, of course, we all know what happened. And we knew that of these close friends over there. And we're praying for God to open up doors, make pathways, you know, part the waters to get these precious saints back home safe and sound. How about the brethren in Guatemala? The last I heard is that there are still people at that feast site and they cannot leave. That's the last that I heard. If anyone has any updated information, boy, please share that here sometime today while we're all here together. But I know that a lot of prayers, and that's in the news, everywhere, but there's other areas around the earth where brethren are in harm's way. And I know we pray to God that He either take the brethren out of harm's way or He take the harm out of the brethren's way. But if the brethren have to go through those great trials and challenges, we know God's will must be done. He's the Most High God. He knows what He's doing. Let's go to a very, very familiar scripture at the beginning of Joshua. I like to remind myself about this because, well, you know why. Moses has died. Joshua is now being given the responsibility of guiding and directing, ruling, if you will, over Israel. And they are getting ready to go across the Jordan and into that land. But starting in Joshua Joshua 1, starting in verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, Jesus Christ said the exact same thing. He said the exact same thing to the church. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Brethren, let's take that to the bank. Let's deposit that in our minds and in our hearts. God knows those who are His. Young, old, men, women, married, single, healthy, infirm, people that can come out, can go in, people that can't. God knows. He knows us. I don't know how many of y'all were able to get the immediate message from Mr. Shaby. I know it was put out in announcements or in an email, but I believe there's some folks that kind of struggle to get the emails. But I wanted to read Mr. Shaby's first message. I believe it was the first one that he put out in reference to what was going on in Israel and Guatemala. Good morning. As the home office is still closed, I am sending this to you, the regional pastors, senior pastors, and a few others, asking you to please relay this on to pastors in your regions, asking them to distribute to the members as soon as possible. I find I cannot relay this to all pastors through my email, or I would have done so. We are all aware and have been praying for the situations with our members attending the feast in Israel and Guatemala. I have been in contact with Charles and Mario. Of course, that's Charles Malir and Mario Siegle, the Spanish Area Regional Director, along with others in attendance in the site in Guatemala on a regular basis in the last few days. I am happy to report that all are safe and many have returned home safely from both sites. Following is an update from Charles now that all are safely out of Israel or have returned home. An update on Guatemala will be sent later today, as it is reported that the situation is being resolved there. Brethren, and this is my emphasis for this short letter, God promises to see us through. As we see from these events that occurred at the end of the past feast, which was so uplifting and inspiring to all, we live in an ever dangerous and declining world. Let us all look to God as He is faithful in His promises. He is our Savior, and the return of Jesus Christ is the only answer of the mess this world is becoming. Let us all propose to draw closer to Him, trusting and relying on Him evermore as we return home from the feast with renewed dedication and a vision of the kingdom of God to come. Rick Shaby. Today and for the remainder of our lives, we are coming to a devotion of encouragement to encourage each other in order to reveal the love that God has commanded us to have as His true children. We are God's true children. And I know that times have been presented to us over the years that we've been in God's church of a progressive decline in not only America's standards of life, standards of decency, but also the world. It's just uncanny to me to see people that are so devoted to doing the wrong thing. So we in God's church, we must be more devoted to doing the godly thing, the righteous thing. John 14, verse 27. We're going to go through a few scriptures here in the book of John, and it's all during the Passover evening. because these were the people that were going to be the beginning of the new covenant church that he was talking to. They were going to become the apostles. John 14 in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, brethren, Satan is the god of fear. I love the fact of this scripture, peace I leave with you. Fear interrupts peace. We should be remaining as close to God as we possibly can and not fear what man may think, say, or do against us. We shouldn't even fear Satan. Satan has no control in our lives. He may try to influence our lives through his deception, but he has no purpose, no place at all in our salvation. We are God's children. We have been conveyed into the kingdom of God. Scripture is very clear about that. We should fear God with the highest of reverent respect and love. Let's go to John 15, the next chapter, starting in verse 9. So we started this section just with the peace of God. Be at peace. I can just imagine that when in Israel, when they started hearing those rockets land, explosions, one after the other, I mean, we're human, right? And then all of a sudden you hear that. What's going on? And in Guatemala, all of a sudden they're informed that they can't leave the festival location because, you know, fill in the blank. Why? Why are those people doing that to that country? Because of Satan, if you ask me. John 15, starting in verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now I'd like you to go back to John 13. Because Christ makes a very, very, very interesting statement here. In John 13, starting in verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. You know, brethren, I've thought about that scripture for years and years and years, and I just have not quite grasped exactly what Christ was telling me personally. Here the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. When the world comes to persecute us, and I kind of pictured myself being in Guatemala, and some thug in a military uniform comes up and starts giving the brethren a bad time, and I'm just being creative with my imagination. And all of a sudden, one of them looks at me and says, do you agree with them? Yes, we keep the commandments of God. We'll live together. We'll die together because we keep God's commandments. This person that is inquiring of us, it may be the first time in their lives they've ever been looking at a true child of God. And all of a sudden, a child of God is looking at them and saying, this is the love I have for my brother and my sister and all these people here. We keep God's commandments. And yes, we are here to to support each other, to love each other, to care for each other. This way the world will know. That's just the best way that I can explain it to myself as to what Christ was saying to me personally. That the world will know because I defend you, because I love you. No, I'm not going to turn my back on you. If someone comes to me and says, "Is that your friend there?" I don't know who that is. I mean, picture Peter when he was looking at Christ. And they were looking at him and saying, oh, he's one of them. And Peter's getting excited. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, there's the opposite of what Peter should have done. But Peter was put on the spot. I imagine that when Christ turned and looked at Peter, and a chill went up his spine and he wept bitterly. But Christ told him it would happen. Lesson, big time lesson. But we're not to be like that. Whether I'm with this gentleman here or I'm with this lady here and we're out in society and suddenly somebody walks up. You know, she's a member of a cult. Did you know that? Yeah, I know she's a member of God's true church. I don't know about this cult thing, but she's a member of God's true church. And she is my sister in Christ. I know I've elaborated a little bit too long on this, but I just wanted to realize that this is how we have love for one another, so the world will know. With the increasing chaos and confusion that has been and being presented throughout the earth during these current times of our lives, every day, every moment, meditate. Who am I? Who am I? Tests are coming. We've seen them at the feasts. You know, when we were in England, the church had gathered together, the congregation had gathered together in a great big room, and we were dancing. We were having a little dance, Cayley dance, Scottish. Well, these thugs were running through the motel. We didn't know about it. They were running through the motel, and then all of a sudden, the fire alarms went off. And these thugs were running through every floor, and they were taking pictures off the walls and throwing them on the floor and breaking them. They were taking curtains off these. I mean, this is a really old hotel, the Prince of Wales Hotel, and they were devastating stuff in this really nice place. And they reported to us later, okay, we got security cameras. We will find these thugs. But to a certain degree, I'm so glad that all of us were in this room and enjoying ourselves. Because I would have hated it if somebody was out in those hallways and those thugs came running through. What would they have done? I don't know. But that happened there in England. It wasn't on a holy day. But still, Satan knows his time is short. And he'll disrupt any way he possibly can. So be strong and of a good courage. Stay as close to God as possibly. The world is not our ally, brethren. You know that. The ruler of this world does not have any respect or love for us at all. He hates us with a passion. He'll do everything within his power to disrupt our lives. Everything. Anything. He'll do anything. So the closer we stay to God and the closer we stay to each other. Text messages every day. Thinking of you. Sending a card. Thinking of you. Phone call. Hey, I'm thinking of you. What can I do to help you? I'm here. I'm here. Reach out to each other every day or at least throughout the week. Remind us. I mean, this sense of unity, this sense of desire, I can call upon this person. They will help me. I can call upon that person. Yeah, I know they live 75 miles away from me, but I personally believe they will be here as soon as they can possibly be here. During moments and events and times of persecution from Satan and his world, brethren, we are to stand in support of each other. I know y'all already know that, but we're being tested. We're going to be tested. We are. I live in a real nice home in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I sit there and I just kind of think, what can happen to us here? Hey, listen, it's part of Satan's world. This isn't God's world. Satan knows where God's people are. And we can't thank God enough. No, Satan, you cannot go and pester that person. No, you cannot go and pester this person. He has to have permission. He has to have permission to address us directly. His world is evil enough. Standing together and standing in the gap, if you will. Brethren, there's a precious example in the scriptures of a young lady. It was during one of the most challenging times in the history of the children of God. And I bet y'all already know who I'm going to talk about. Let's go to the book of Esther. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to meeting Esther. I'm looking forward to meeting her. I'm looking forward to meeting Ruth. I'm looking forward to meeting these very, very, very brave women. I'm so glad that Gerald had a fitting help for him to come help him with his phone. That's wonderful. Forgive my silliness. Esther 4. Knowing the history of this event, very, very evil person in this realm who wanted to destroy the Jews. And let's see, chapter 4 and in verse 14. Forgive me, we're going to start reading in verse 10. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai, her uncle. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews." Emphasis on verse 14. "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place." God is on his throne. "But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Brethren, you are here for such a time as this. You are here to support each other. To support each other. Ezra 8, chapter 8. And Esther shows her incredible leadership. She knew what to do. Ezra 8. Oh, forgive me. I'm still in Esther. I'd like you to go to the book of Ezra. Kind of jumping into my notes here. Because the people of Israel, or Judah, had returned to Jerusalem. And Ezra knew who was in charge. And he knew what to do to guide and direct the people of God to make sure that they were walking humbly before God and that he would intervene on their behalf. There were people there that did not want the Jews back in Jerusalem. Ezra 8, starting in verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Brethren, is a point of encouragement. Don't be afraid to reach out to one of your brothers or sisters in Christ and ask them to fast with you. If you've got a major challenge or test or trial, or even if you're having a private conversation one-on-one and they're sharing with you, well, I'm having a difficult time at work. And I need some help. And you suddenly look at them and say, would you like me to fast with you? To afflict your soul, go before the throne of God, and share with him your love and your desire to be encouraging and comforting, to give of ourselves to the benefit of others. Isaiah 40. This is such a beautiful description of God. Because, brethren, we know the one true God because he has reached out to us and introduced himself to us and revealed himself to us and introduced his son to us. I've brought this up many, many times. For this reason and many, many other reasons, we are the most blessed people upon the face of the earth in all of time. We know the one true God deeply and intimately. Isaiah 40, verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? They're doubting God. But then he goes in, verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love that statement there, those who wait on the Lord. Are you patient with God? I imagine the brethren in Guatemala. When's God going to intervene for us? Well, he knows who you are. And I know all of y'all can rehearse in your mind, Israel's right on the banks of the Red Sea. Oh, way to go, Moses. Way to go. Be still and see the salvation of God. Now paraphrase. And all of a sudden something happened that never did they think was going to happen. I love the way Mr. Cleaver put it earlier this morning or this afternoon when we were talking about this, that God's going to do something. And we'll all go, oh, wow. He knows what's best. And he'll intervene at the proper time. Our God and Father is the one true God, and his Son is the one true Lord. And the world does not know them. But brethren, we do. I'd like you to go to Romans 8. Because it is just Romans 8, the second half of this chapter, is so uplifting, it's so encouraging, it's so amazing that God inspired Paul to write this in such depth for the predestined children of God. He wrote it for the brethren in Rome. He's writing it for the brethren in Oklahoma City. He's writing it for the brethren in Guatemala. He's writing it for the brethren in Tulsa. He's writing it for Connie Chin in China. Verse 18 of Romans 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, God's plan. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In other words, the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that we, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption or the sonship, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We're talking about Jesus Christ praying for us, brethren. Have you ever asked to be filled with the prayers of Jesus Christ? He prays for us personally and collectively as his body. Start continuing in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That's all things, brethren. Everything we go through, everything, so that we can develop the character and have the heart and mind of Christ. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall charge, or who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As is it written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is there anything more encouraging than what was just presented to you by the Almighty God? Nothing can separate us from God. Brethren, the predestined children of God are destined to an honor that the world simply cannot receive or understand. We are to be the bride of Jesus Christ. I'd like you to go to Hebrews 11. I've just wanted to purposely read a lot of scriptures today. In length, the world is determined because the ruler of this world is determined to use the world to distract, to disappoint, to discourage, to do anything it possibly can to keep us from making it to the kingdom of God. That is the devotion of Satan. He wants us to turn away from this way of life. You know, Satan does not want us to die in the faith. He does not want us to physically die. He wants us to spiritually die. Because God says he will not put his son to an open shame and apply the supreme sacrifice of Jesus Christ a second time to anyone who walks away from this way of life. That's Satan's goal, is to get us to doubt God. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, all through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently, every day, every day, every day, every moment of every day. Wear out your knees, brethren. You continue to read all the way through Hebrews 11, and just this list of peoples, list of events that occurred, revealing that God divinely intervened for these individuals, as well as ancient Israel, as well as Judah, and he will do so today. He will do so today. Verse 39. Of Hebrews 11. In all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Reflecting upon the first resurrection. I'm looking so forward to seeing that and being there. Curious. who looks like who. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'd like you to think about, well, let's go ahead and go and think about King Hezekiah. He did something incredibly special that I will recommend to everybody here and everybody that hears my voice. 2 Kings 19. This was a time in Judah's history where Assyria had surrounded Jerusalem. And the army of Assyria, they were pretty high on themselves, and they're taunting Hezekiah, and I'm just paraphrasing, kind of going a little bit light in there. None of their gods delivered them. He's talking about the nations that he swept through. And he comes to Jerusalem, and they give a letter to Hezekiah. 2 Kings 19 and verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. How many of y'all have ever gotten a letter of threat or a letter that is suddenly going to change your life? I have. Guess where it came from? The IRS. Mr. Redline, we audited you for 10 years ago and you failed to do this. And oh, by the way, there's interest on what you owe. Oh, and by the way, there's a penalty for what you owe. Oh, and by the way, it's this much money. My wife and I took it before the throne of God. Look, apparently I made a mistake. And I can't disagree with the IRS. I can. Where is it going to get me? But would you please help? It's amazing what God does. And I don't have time to share everything that goes on, but I tell you what, the IRS, whew, to me, they're the king of Assyria. Continuing in verse 15, then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear, open, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations in their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Hezekiah did the right thing. He did the only thing that he knew to do. He was a righteous man. Let's see the results. 2 Kings 19, of course. Let's go down to verse 32. Therefore, Isaiah conveys this message to Hezekiah. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow here, there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and he shall not come into this city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Someday we'll meet Sennacherib in the second resurrection, I presume. Maybe one of us or all of us or some of us will look at him and say, what'd you think when you woke up and saw that? Sennacherib didn't live very, very long after this. His own sons killed him. There's just certain people in history that I look forward to just kind of talking to. What did you think when you saw this, when this happened? Because the great God, the one true God, intervened for his people. Our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, they are our saviors, plural. They are our saviors. They love us so much. Brethren, Mr. Dan Dowd puts out a Sabbath thought. Usually it goes out on the sixth day of the week and then you can receive it on the Sabbath, and it's just kind of nice, some of his thoughts that he puts out. I'm going to read to you the most recent one that he put out. It's called Loaded with Benefits. Are you blessed to be a part of God's church now? Are there blessings for being a son or daughter of God now? We have returned home from observing God's Feast of Tabernacles on the last great day. We gathered for those days to rejoice in and rehearse the future reality of God's blessing for all mankind. Those holy days are a wonderful respite from the world surrounding us. Well, what about us now? Are there blessings now for being called? Are there blessings when we are lied to by a merchant? Are there benefits when our cars break down? Or worse, our bodies? Are there benefits for keeping the Sabbath and holy days now? When we run the risk of losing jobs or, in some cases, our families? Do we get so consumed by the trials of this life that we forget why we are running this race? In Psalm 68, verse 19, we read, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Do we see the benefits God gives us daily? In the original Hebrew, the word with benefits are not there, so that literally it would be read, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us, the God of our salvation. That doesn't sound so great, does it? Sometimes it seems like God loads us, but that is not the context of the original wording. The word rendered load can mean a burden, but it also can mean to lift up. The idea here is, blessed be the Lord God, even if he lays a burden on us, and if he does this daily, for he is the God of our salvation. He enables us to bear it. He gives us strength, and finally, he delivers us through it. When we understand the context of the struggles we face, we need to remind ourselves that God is the God of our salvation, and he knows the load we bear. The wonderful thing about God is that he doesn't just look at us and say, "Wow, look at that load they're carrying." He gauges the load and adjusts it for us when necessary. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells us, quote, "No temptation has taken you but what is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also will make a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it." Does that seem like a blessing to you? It does to me. Not only is God aware of my trials, he makes sure that my load will not be so overwhelming that it's too much for me. He knows what I need to strengthen me in his calling. He knows what I need to grow in to develop his righteous character. He knows what I can carry and learn and grow from. That is a great blessing, a blessing the rest of the world will not fully experience or understand until the millennium or later. You and I have that blessing now. Because we have been called now, we will have opportunity to be part of that first resurrection. Because God has chosen to load us with his benefits now. Revelation 20 and verse 6 states, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. Let's remember what the recent fall holy days picture. Keep them at the forefront of our hearts and minds as we look forward to rehearsing God's holy day plan next year once again. I wish you a very meaningful Sabbath, Mr. Dan Dowd." Brethren, take the time as your homework to go through the book of chapter 58 of Isaiah. It was brought to our attention at the feast in Southport, England, about chapter 58 and how it runs from trumpets to atonement to the Feast of Tabernacles. I'd never thought of it. It's a good study. Well, brethren, today it has been my desire to present a message of encouragement. I hope you're encouraged. We are children of God. Our God is the one true God. We go through the special moments of lives with our brothers and sisters, looking forward to serving now, serving during the week, serving next Sabbath, serving next month, serving next year, running our race, fighting our fight. Will share with us probably the great detail of their joy and personally experience the direct intervention of God in your lives as we run these races. Love to hear about the miracles that go on in your lives, the miracles of God divinely intervening for you, healing you, continuing to bless you greatly, whether young, whether old, whether weak, whether strong, whether man, female, married, or single, able to go in, able to come out, or able not to do so. Happy Sabbath.